says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? Everybody with me. If you're with me, say amen. Amen. In what way shall I return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what have we robbed you? What way have we robbed you? In tithe and offering. You're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me. Test me. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there would not be room enough to receive it. What is a tithe? How much is a tithe? A tenth. If you made $100, how much is a tenth of $100? $10. If you made $300, how much is a tenth of $300? Isn't that simple math? God doesn't have a complicated system where no one can understand. Everybody can understand that. Now, I've been taught that the tithe is our increase. That to me, it means if you have, let's say you have a business, and you have business expenses connected with your business, but you do make something at the end of the year, what you make is your increase. Now, you take out for your expenses and all of that, but what you have left is your increase. And also, I've been taught that, let's say that you work for ABC Corporation in Temecula, and you've been hired at $300 a week. I remember when I was growing up, you'd be shouting all over the place for $300 a week. Am I right? They'll insult you if they say they're paying you $300 a week nowadays. You couldn't even live in California. Am I right? You know it's the truth. But let's say they're going to pay you $300 a week. What's 10% of $300? $30. $300 is your increase. Now, I know the government takes some of our money. But you have contracted with the person on the job that you ought to get $300. Now, I'm sorry that the government takes something out of it. But your increase is, y'all said that mighty weak. Your increase is $300. Now, I have to admit, in this day and age, you had to be careful of the government. That's why we don't want them taking any more taxes. Because it's possible for you to make $300, that's your increase, and the government keeps raising and raising and raising your taxes, you still have to give tithe on $300. But if you look around, you don't even have any money to give because they've taken it all. Oh, y'all don't have to say amen, but it's the truth. But that's still your increase. When you tell somebody what you make, you don't tell them the net. You go in to get another job, and they say, well, what were they paying you at your last job? You tell them the gross. You tell them you were making $300. Am I right now? I know that's tough, but that's the way I was taught. Amen? And if you have a business, after you take out the expenses, then your increase, that's your increase. Now, God is good. And if you were looking for where the tithe is, you'll find in Genesis 28 and verse 22, where Jacob said, I'm more than willing to give a tenth. He said tenth to make sure we know. Genesis 28:22. So you'll know it's in the Bible. Amen. You know what a tithe is if you go to Leviticus 27. And let me see what verse 30, I think it's 30 through 34. You'll see those passages there. They're very clear. Now God, according to 1 Chronicles 29:14, we should be happy to give of what we have. But you know what we have belongs to God? He takes 100% of what is his, and he says, you take 90% of it. And out of that 90%, you live. And out of that, if you're grateful, give me an offering out of it. That's pretty fair. It's all his. All 100% is his. But he says, okay, you got the 100%. That's what the man paid you. Just give me a tenth back. And out of the 90%, give me an offering. Isn't that fair? Isn't God good? And not only that, you know, if God stopped there, he'd still be good. But he says, if you follow this command, test me, and you'll see, I will open the windows of heaven. I'll open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing that you won't even be able to handle it. Isn't God good? But he says, test me. Prove me. You'll see. Do you think when God blesses us, it's always with money? God has 1,000 ways to bless us. It's not always money. He say, I'll pour you out a blessing. Some of you here in good health, you're looking good. That's God's blessings on you. Amen? You're able to work because God's been good to you. God is good. I know what he is. God says, prove me, test me. You know why I'm telling you this sermon? Because when we hear the word recession, and we know that people are losing their houses and people are having a difficult time, our budget should stay in the black in church. This is the time to test him. Not when times are going good. That's not doing anything. It's when times are not going good that you ought to put it in the plate. You're not doing anything if you got money you don't even know what to do with. You like Shaq. Shaq could throw $1,000 in the plate. That's nothing. But when things are tough, Benny, we ought to have it in the black all through this year. In fact, it ought to increase. We ought to have a Sabbath when I stand up and say, don't bring any more money. We got all that we need. I want to see that before I die. Come on. We don't need any more money. Let's take a break. We're smiling because we know our own hearts, right? That would be great. You know that really happened in the Bible? They told them, they said, don't bring any more. It really did. You know why money is so important and why it's in the Bible so much? Because God knows that Satan, you know, money is neutral. But Satan can take it and have it be a god. And you know that people even have hard feelings with one another because of money? That's right. It's so important. It can fracture relationships. Ever lie on your income tax just to make a few extra dollars? I know it's never done here. But there are people who spend time lying on their income tax. Ever get angry with people over money? Ever feel like you're not paid what you're worth? Ever overspend and they get mad with others because you've overspent? Ever get angry because someone has more money than you? Imagine those kinds of feelings multiplied by the billions. And that's the world we live in. That's why God warned us. Well, I'm saying back to God, He said, test me. I'm saying to God this morning, God, you said that you would pour out the blessings of heaven. Prove it. Prove it. Well, He said, boy, that sounds like a prosperity gospel to me. Well, God said, if you follow this command, that I'm going to bless you. I'm telling God to prove it. He said, you're mighty bold. Prove it. Have you discovered what I've discovered? That God doesn't need our money. If you left the church, I pray that you don't. It's just to make my point. And you took your money with you, I hope we miss you. You see, the message of Malachi is God wants His people to return to Him. Amen. See, I've discovered if God has your heart, He has everything. Including your money. When you return your tithe and offering to God, you are saying to God, I want to emphasize that, you are saying to God, God, you are on the throne of my life. It's not my money anyway. It all belongs to you. It's not, when we put our offering in the plate, it's not to tip God for good services. As if we have as if He's our hired help and we're patronizing Him. God wants us to know the spiritual disciplines of sacrifice and surrender. And so that's why He instituted that. He's not interested. God doesn't need groceries. He doesn't need to buy things. I'm asking God to prove it. Matthew 27. If you would turn there just briefly. Matthew 27. When the morning came, all the chief priests and elders of the people plotted against Jesus to put Him to death. That's verse 1. Skip down to verse 27. And the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around Him. And they stripped Him and put scarlet robe on Him. And when they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Then they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off of him and put his own clothes on him, and they led him away to be crucified. And I'm asking Jesus to prove it. The perfect Son of God, skin slashed by whips, his hands nailed to the wooden cross, his feet spiked to the beam, and I'm asking God to prove it. His royal head pierced by the crown of thorns, and blood dripped from his head. He experienced unspeakable anguish and pain. He offered himself a sacrifice, all because he loved us. And there is no greater gift in all the world. When I was doing my homework, I found out that I was trying to find out how much this country, the United States, was worth. I never did find that. I only found how much we owed. And at the end of the year, it's going to be $10 trillion. That's $30,000 for every man, woman, boy, and girl in this nation. And these people think they want to be president. I like one of those reporters to ask them how they're going to fix that and hear what they say. And there was no greater gift in all the world than Jesus. And he just asks us for a tenth and an offering. Isn't God good? That's not even enough. I want to close. I told this in the first service. In my first pastorate in Nebraska, early in ministry, I had a church in Lincoln and one in Omaha, and they were 60 miles apart. And as a young, charged up minister out of the seminary, I'd hop in my car and I was up and down that highway. I mean, I put thousands, and I mean thousands of miles on my car, back and forth with my wife. My wife would tell you, sliding across those bridges in that ice in Nebraska in the wintertime, going to Omaha, back from Omaha to Lincoln, back and forth, day after day, with my two children there in the car. What a ministry. And all of those miles of driving, something happened to me. I had shooting pains that went from my leg down to my toe, and when it would hit me, I would be paralyzed. I mean, it was like light. It was like I was struck by lightning. I would freeze right where I was at. It's happened in the pulpit. It's happened any number of places. I'd be in the store and it happened. And my wife could know when something happened because I couldn't move. I mean, I was just standing there in pain. And as most men, I mean, I had to get struck by lightning a whole lot before I'd go to the doctor. You know, we had to really endure some pain before we go to the doctor. That's me. And enough of those bolts shooting down my leg, I went to the doctor. Guess what the answer was? The doctor took my wallet out. I kid you not. The Lord knows I'm telling the truth. Took my wallet out, and he said, "Take the stuff out of your wallet and put it in your front pocket. You got too much in your wallet." Y'all got the message, I know. But that's the honest truth. You see, sitting on that wallet, it was very thick, a lot thicker than this. It affected my sciatic nerve. He knew about it because truck drivers have it all the time. Because they spend so many, you know, days on the road. My miles were similar as a truck driver. I took that wallet and put it in my front pocket. And occasionally, I still do it today, I'll go through my wallet, and I need to do that now, and take a lot of the stuff out there that I'm never going to use and make it smaller. And that solved my problem. Some of you need to go through your wallet. You know, when you're talking about money, you gotta approach it either serious or humorous. Am I right? Some of you need to go through your wallet, and you need to take something out of there and give it to the storehouse of God, so that you can be blessed. Prove it. Well, there are many here. If I had a testimony period right now, we couldn't, time would not even permit to tell you the blessings that people have had following God's command. There's no way in the world we should exist as a church with a doctrine called the Sabbath, where we don't work on Saturday. How in the world have we existed? It is because God's people have been faithful to God's command, and God has opened the windows of heaven for us and poured out a blessing that we can hardly contain it. God says, test me. Prove me. Return to me. God, you know, God doesn't want part of you. That's what that's about. This is not, I hope you know, this is about money, but it's not about money. God wants all of you. All. We're living in the condition and the time when God is going to need all of you. And usually when you can get a person to commit their funds, it says volumes about their commitment. May the Lord help us to respond. And he says, if you do, I'm going to bless you. Let's pray. A loving Father in heaven, we don't deserve it. We just don't. You're so good. Everything is yours. And you give us 90% of it. And you ask us to give an offering, a token of our love. Lord, even if we put offering and tithe, it's just not enough. So, Lord, when we put our offerings, our tithes and offerings in the plate, Lord, our heart goes with it. Lord, help us to respond. We thank you for the generosity of this church. We thank you for faithful members. And we recognize there are some people, where they are in their financial condition, they cannot respond immediately to this. But Lord, would you bless them so that they can respond? Lord, would you direct their finances so that they can come on board? Oh Lord, forgive us where we've fallen short. From this day forward, Lord, let us give you our everything. And we'll be careful to praise your name Because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Next Sabbath, we want you to remember that it's communion. And so we want you to prepare your hearts accordingly. Our communion, on our communion Sabbath, you remember that we do not have our potluck fellowship. So just keep those things in mind. We'd like to conclude our service today with the singing of, if I can find my bulletin again, 327. Thank you, Joe, because I was looking for my bulletin. Let's stand. 327, one stanza. I'd rather have Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced hand than to be a stranger or be held in sacred sway. I'd rather have Jesus.